I would like to first read to you from Philippians 2, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort of his love, if any common sharing of the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit, and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So when Chip told me I was going to pray, I was wondering what I should write about. So everybody remembers Pastor Brian Shore. I had the good fortune, the good blessing to be able to be counseled by him. So I was speaking to him. And I was upset about something. It doesn't matter who, doesn't matter when, but I was very upset at something. And he said two things to me. He said, Brian, how can you grow in the love of Christ and be angry all the time? It sounds cliche, but it's true when you thought about it. He goes, I want you to meditate on a passage. I said, what passage is that? He said, Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. He said, it's helped me in my 40-plus years of ministry. 40-plus years. I'm 45. So, I mean, just to put things into perspective. So, being impetuous by nature, I forgot about it. I did not, in fact, meditate on Philippians 2, verses 1 through 11. However, I was taking seminary classes. So, Lorenzo also took this class. He went to Crown, as I'm going. And this one class required a research paper at the end, 15 pages, and we had to do nothing but research this same passage. When I found the syllabus showed four passages. Now, Lorenzo had done his on Potiphar's wife. The first one listed was, can you guess? Philippians 2, verses 1 through 11. So I had 7 weeks to meditate on this. 7 weeks of word study. 7 weeks of researching everything. All of which I will now preach to you. No, I'm joking. I'm not. I made a joke yesterday at our evangelism explosion training. It was 3 and 4 hours. I said, yes, and that's how much I'm going to preach. And Chip laughed and then kind of, you know, I'm joking, Chip. So, now if you'll turn with me to Philippians 2, 1 through 11, and open your outlines, I'd like to take a deeper look at the scripture. So, therefore and the four ifs. So, one of the things that I noticed that I was taught early on, they said, if there's a therefore, what is the there for? So, and that's how we don't take things out of context. So if you look just in chapter 1, verse 27, Paul is writing to the Philippians, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. So the later verses expound upon that, but we're going into here with the same mindset, conducting yourselves worthy of the gospel. So, the four ifs. So, there's four if statements followed by an imperative in here. So the four if statements are not, for example, if I mow my lawn, then Nancy will be happy. No, these aren't conditional. These are since statements. So Paul was assuming, writing, that the church in Philippi were acting in a manner worthy of the gospel. So the next if statements reflect that. So if I were to say, any mothers and fathers in here? Right? Has anybody said, you live under my roof, you eat my food, use my electricity, follow my rules? That's kind of the if-then statement. Since you live in my house, since you eat my food, then clean your room and do so without complaining. Right. So these traits were expected if one were to follow the example of selfless humility of Christ. So another way, like I said, if you can look and replace the word since. So one thing I'd like to ask is, when you read through these, so following in verse 1, if you have any encouragement from being united in Christ. So, has anybody here felt encouragement? Connie is one of the greatest sources of encouragement that I have ever seen. Every day she walks in and she encourages at least 5 people on her way to sit down. This morning I saw her and she encouraged me. She prayed with me. Yesterday, I was encouraged by Pastor Chip. I was encouraged by Pastor Leonard. I was encouraged by my wife. I was encouraged by Jean. These are things that we have. And as Pastor Leonard has often said, how many churches do we have in Jacksonville? One. How many churches, period? Christ has one church. This should be present everywhere. However, within the context of this church, think about encouragement. So, how often have you stopped someone here or in the parking lot and for some reason they confess something to you? Not necessarily bad, but hey, this is going on in my life. Hey, I'm struggling with this. I have to write this paper and I have no idea what I'm going to write it on. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to someone and they've said, Brian, it's all right. Brian, you've got this. Julia, all the time. Oh, you've got this, you've got this. How many times has Julia been encouraged while she's going through her studies? So, moving on to the next point. If you have any comfort from his love. So this one, how many times have you endured the heartbreak of a loved one's injury? So, I'm not going to say names, but there's a lot of people who, and speaking about prayer group, that we pray for. These are things that not necessarily are, they're not necessarily proclaimed from the rooftops. These are things that people have a hard time with. One of these problems, often, is financial trouble. You don't walk around saying, well, I'm broke. You don't. I mean, you know, so what's common? If I see you at church, when I walk through the door, I say, hi, how are you doing? And how often do we lie to each other and say, oh, I'm great, I'm fine. And then they're quiet, sitting by themselves until somebody like Connie comes up and says, hi, how are you doing? And then sits down and more often than not, tends to sit down and praying with them. So, speaking about prayer meetings, if you come to the prayer meetings on Thursdays, you can look over there at that board, and that has a list of everything that we pray for. And this is mixed with prayer requests from ESL, prayer requests we get from everybody else. We have prayer requests that we get via text message. So we have members of the church who aren't here today. They're not here because they're tending to another matter. They have been encouraged. They have been prayed for. So now I ask yourself, do you have encouragement in this church? Do you have comfort from God's love? Now, not to turn into too much of a word nerd, but love, that's the verb form agape. That's God's love. Selfless love. Humble love. So this comfort should be present in every single person here and part of every ministry we have. Pastor Leonard went over ESL. Having people come in and ask for help speaking English requires a sense of humility. And it's a sense of humility that I see every single time. And that's why I like to greet everybody with a huge hug and a big smile and say, we're family. Because once people get comfortable with family, you can joke around. You can laugh easier. You can laugh at your own mistakes. My students tell me all the time, you talk too fast, you talk too fast. It's okay, slow down. If you've known me for longer than a week, you know that once I get going, I tend to spill over. Yeah, Gene's laughing. So are a lot of other people. So, next he says, do you have any common sharing of the Spirit? Now, notice the capital S in Spirit. What do you think that means? Who's he referring to? Is he referring to our spirit? He's referring to what? The Holy Spirit. The Greek in there is pneuma. So, as a side note, a lot of people bring up Greek words, and it's not to sound smart, it's not to sound like I'm more informed or anybody else. It's because there's a lot of different translations of the Bible. There's one Greek word. And if you get to the heart of that word, you can see the heart of the message. So, we just finished worship. Have you ever shared the feeling of the Spirit with someone here? Have you raised your hands? Have you felt the prickle up the back of your neck? Have you felt goosebumps? When you raise your hand, your goosebumps even more. You start waving your hands. You feel it. So if you have something against somebody, at that moment, can you look over at somebody with whom you're having a disagreement with somebody that you're angry with? Can you think of anything else other than Jesus? Any tenderness or compassion? So, these traits should be seen as the antithesis of dissension and infighting. So, why do I mention that? So, have you ever been part of a family that can't get along? Have you ever been part of a dysfunctional family? You don't have to say it out loud. Not everybody has a perfect family. I had my share of dysfunction growing up. We had dissension. I didn't speak to my brother. I got mad at my brother and my father at different times. I didn't speak to them for years. How can I say that I love my brother? How can I say that I love my dad if I don't talk to him? So this passage is about humility. Now I'm asking you, if I'm mad at someone, and I give you the nod, Leonard, give you the nod. Hi, Leonard, how you doing? And I'm standing 10 feet away from you because I'm mad at you, and I'm holding that in my heart. How am I being humble? How am I being humble? If I think that the wrong that you did to me was greater than the humility that Christ showed upon the cross for wrongs done to him, he was right. He was righteous. It took humility to be on that cross. Are you in a higher place than he is? And I say that to myself as well. Because, yeah, how many times have you said, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian? Raise your hand with one. And again, I'm talking about myself. Raise your hand with one. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh, how's your dad? I don't know. Why? I don't speak to him. I guess he's okay. I mean, it sounds cliche, but if you look at your relationships that you have with others, it requires a certain humility. Tenderness and compassion. These traits should be the antithesis of dissension and infighting. How many times did Jesus have compassion for his disciples? Mark 9:36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd. Dot just showed us, took us to Nigeria, showing Christ's tenderness and compassion for others. So, if you're following along, in verse 1, we had encouragement, we had love, we have common sharing of the Spirit, and tenderness and compassion. So this is the then. Remember, we had four ifs and then the then. So this other four is the other side. This is how you show these traits. Being like-minded. The Greek phrase here is autos phroneo. And I want to make a note. You can jot it down in your notes. That's the same exact Greek phrase that's used in verse 5. If you want to look down to verse 5, we'll get there in a minute. It's the same Greek phrase used in verse 5. So when I was researching for this research paper, I was reading Chuck Swindoll, and he quoted a man named Harry Ironside. And he offered this unique insight to being like-minded, okay? I think a certain way. I think different than my wife does. I think different. There's no two people who think the same thing. What's your favorite color? Mine's blue. You have something about, we don't think the same thing. So Harry Ironside says, it's very evident that all Christians will never see eye to eye on all points. We are so intellectual and spiritual, we're so largely influenced by habits, by environment, by education, by the measure of intellectual and spiritual apprehension to which we have attained, that it is an impossibility to find any number of people who look at everything from the same standpoint. How then can such be of one mind? The mind of Christ is the lowly mind. The lowly mind. Christ wasn't low. Had an attitude of humility, selfless humility. And if we are all of this mind, we shall walk together in love, considering one another, and make note of this, seeking rather to be helpers of one another's faith than challenging each other's convictions. Amen. I'm going to say that again. Seeking rather to be helpers of one another's faith than challenging each other's convictions. If I'm angry at you, I'm challenging you. I'm not thinking of you, I'm thinking of myself. So, having the same love, again, there's the same word love. Now, that is the same exact Greek letter for love, agape love, the highest form of love, sacrificial love. Selfless love. Being in one mind or one spirit. Can we be of the same mind and have differences of opinion? What about politics? We laugh. How many times, what do they say? We don't mix what? Religion and politics. If you're thinking about politics in a church, you're wrong. Everyone's going to ask five people what they think about a political candidate. You're going to get five very different answers. Nobody's going to agree. So one mind means that we're one mind for who? For Christ. So now, verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Verse 4, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. So, selfish ambition is almost the inverse of vain conceit. Out of all the times that I've read vain conceit, I was like, okay, vain and conceit, cool, I got it. It wasn't until I was actually forced by this assignment, not this sermon, I mean, I did again for the sermon, but and that I actually looked up the word for vain conceit. It's kenodoxia, empty praise. Self-ambition is the same as empty praise. When I was in the Navy, that's what I was concerned with, selfish ambition. I'd love to say that I was in it for all the altruistic reasons. I wish I could say that I was in it because I really loved my guys. I was ambitious. Anything that you seek that is not of God, that is not of Christ, is empty. It's vain conceit. So rather in humility, value others above yourselves. What is that? That's humility. How are you supposed to love your wife? Valuing others above yourself. So from verses 1 to 4, Paul has established that the spiritual gifts that were present in the church and how to make his joy complete. By his joy, he's talking about communal, my joy, the joy of the church. This is how you show that you have the love of Christ. This is how you show that you live a life worthy of the gospel. Amen. So, Paul transitions in verse 5 to Christ's supreme example of humility. Verse 5, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Now, mindset. Remember I told you to write down that first one, like-mindedness? It's the autos phroneo. It's the same Greek phrase. I promised I looked it up. You can too. The same mind as Jesus. So does this mean that we think the thoughts of Jesus? No, we can't know Jesus' thoughts. It means that we have the same mindset, humility. That same mindset that was in Christ, selfless humility. So, moving on, verse 6. Who, by being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Now, if you turn to John 1, verses 1 to 4, I would say most people here would know that verse. For those online, for anybody here who doesn't want to open their Bible, I'll read it for us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God, was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Who does that mean? It means Jesus is God. Jesus was God from the beginning. Jesus was in glory. Verse 7, rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. It means he put on flesh and dwelt among us. still God, and dwelt among us. If you look at Luke chapter 9, verses 29 through 31, as he was praying, this is the transfiguration, where he comes up to the mountain. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus. They spoke of his departure, which he was about to bring about in fulfillment in Jerusalem. The NRSV, instead of saying departure, uses Exodus, which is a whole other sermon. The very nature of God was poured into human form. His form was empty, poured into that form of a slave or bondsman. Now here, a lot of people get stuck because of the word slave or bondsman. This is why I like to look at the Greek, because the Greek gives you a much more concise definition than the English does. The word here is doulos, which means a slave or a bondsman who gives himself up to another's will, devoted to disregarding one's own interest. Christ came down and dwelt among us for one purpose, to give his life as a ransom for many, as a propitiation for sin. Jesus was And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. The same Jesus who showed himself, revealed himself in the transfiguration, died a death on the cross. He took on flesh, he humbled himself, beaten unto death, suffering the most excruciating and humiliating death on a cross. He hung himself, exposed to everybody, flayed, tortured. He valued my life above his own. He valued your life above his own. He willingly took on the sins of the world. He humbled himself. In the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew 26:53, when Peter drew his sword, Jesus replied, "Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels?" Do not be mistaken. No one took Jesus' life. He gave it up willingly in humble submission to his Father. This is another scene from the garden. Matthew 26 through 39. When he prayed in the garden, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." He humbled himself. He suffered. He sweated drops of blood. He prays essentially the same thing again a couple of verses later. Humility was hard for this. He had to suffer, die, because of his submission. The creator of the universe willingly hung on a cross to be mocked by his enemies. He humbled himself. Verses 9 through 11. "Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven or on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So I was going to tell a story for conclusion. I was going to tell a story about myself. I was going to say about how humble I was now because of everything that's happened to me. That was like in my notes. That was in my notes until last night. When I was going through and I was thinking about all the struggles that everybody else goes through. True humility can be something as simple as forgiveness. Not holding something against your brother. And unforgiveness, I'm good at it. I didn't speak to my brother for 7 years. I didn't speak to my dad for over 10. Again, are you a Christian? Sure am. Cool, how was your dad? I don't know. Ask him yourself. So somebody in this room kept on. Can you see Nancy's handprints? I said, you need to forgive your father. I said, the phone works on both ends. He can call me too. A phone never rings if you don't pick it up. If you're expecting the other person to say sorry first, you're wrong. It doesn't matter what they did to you. It matters that you forgive them. My dad's second wife, I'm not going to name any names. I didn't like her. Again, nothing to do. Almost 18 years I didn't talk to either one of them. This one kept pushing. Suddenly, and it must have been one of her prayers, that God softened my heart. I picked up that phone and I said, hey, Dad, heard you're going to be in town. Can we get together? So we went down to Singleton's out of the back gate of Mayport. I went in there with a mindset that it didn't matter what she did to me. It didn't matter how I felt about it. What mattered was I am called to forgive. I am called to be humble. How are you going to be humble forgiving somebody? You have to take all of that anger, all of that resentment, all of that hurt, all that nastiness that you have, and let it go. Because God gave first. Because God was selfless. He was humble and went on the cross. So we had a marvelous lunch. It was great. I don't know if you guys know Singleton's. They have fried seafood and it's fat boy and plate. Oh my goodness, I loved it. And we talked and we laughed and we hugged and we talked about, cool, we're going to go up and see you. You guys are going to, you know, we'll go on this trip, we'll go on that trip. Dad and I were talking and my wife and dad's were talking because they were doing most of the planning. And then we left. They took off. That was on Saturday. On Tuesday, I got the call from my dad saying she had passed. I don't care if you're wrong. I don't care if you're right. If you have aught against another man, go and be reconciled with him. Amen. Apologize today. If you're waiting on the other line to ring, it's not going to happen. If you don't do it first, it's not going to happen. We are called by Jesus to be humble by valuing others above ourselves and setting the needs and interests of others before our own. Let us pray. Dear Lord, please let the lowly mind, the humble mind that was in you as you hung upon the cross, as you heard the mocking of the enemy, as you stood upon the cross, forgiving others as they tormented and crucified you. Please let that same mind be on us. Lord, please let us be reconciled to one another. Lord, please let us have one mind, one love, being in one spirit, being in unity, but above all, help us to have selfless humility and an humble mind. In Jesus' name, amen.